All right, let me ask you a question. Both buildings, how many of you have ever experienced stress? Raise your hand. The rest of you either lying, you're not alive, you're over-medicated. Talked to a lady this week. She said, every time I'm in an interview, I break out in a rash up through my neck. I don't know about you, if I'm stressed, a little Milky Way about that large just takes care of everything that's going on. So today what I want to talk to you about is how to handle stress in life from the Word of God. So I want you to take your Bible or your smart pad, your tablet, and turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to look just at a few verses here. Philippians chapter 4. Let's just begin with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In January of this year, my internal medicine, my family practitioner, suggested that I go see a cardiologist. I was not having any kind of cardiac problems. I have not to this point. I'm so thankful. However, we have a family history of heart attack and heart disease. My dad had a massive heart attack at the age of 55 and triple bypass surgery. 2 years ago, my brother had what is called the widowmaker, and they caught it just in time to save his life. So I talked to the doctor and I said, you know, I feel great. I don't have any problems, but let's look under the hood. So he sent me to Dr. Ware, a cardiologist here in town who's well known. His reputation precedes him in the medical profession. They told me I was going to have a stress test, one of those treadmill stress tests. And one of the things I dread about that is you have to take off your shirt. And with my chiseled chest, it always puts the technician in shock. Now, there's two kinds of chisel. There's one that looks like you're suffering from world hunger, and then there's another one that looks like you've been to the gym. I pass by a lot of gyms, and I think they're real pretty. But I went in there that day, and she hooked all those leads up to me, and she said, we've got a brand new treadmill here. And she said, I want you to get on this. And she said, now listen to me. Anytime you say stop, we'll stop. Well, when I get on my treadmill, I start off level. I start at 2.5, and then I go to 2.7 and 3.2. Sometimes 3.5, but that's when I'm pretending a dog is chasing me through the neighborhood. Well, she started this thing on 3.5 with a slant like this. So I'm holding on And, you know, I'm going along here and all these leads are coming out. She said, now, are you all right? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm fine. Every 2 minutes, that thing changed gears, went to a higher speed and a steeper angle. And so I'm huffing and blowing there. And the lady, she's, are you okay? Are you okay? And yeah. And so, yeah, we're fine here. So finally I said this. I said, as I'm going along here and struggling, I said, what is my target? She said, 158 minutes. Beats a minute. I said, let me know when I get there. So we're going along there for a few minutes, and she said, we're at 158. Tell me when to stop. I said, lady, we're going to gut this out. And so I stayed on there a little longer, a little longer, a little longer. I said, where are you? She said, 174. I said, stop. When she did, I was just hanging on to the bar and staggered back into the chair. I cannot remember when I've been that winded and exhausted. She said, would you like some water? I said, lady, I'd give you $10 for a bottle of water. She brought some water, brought Delaine in. The doctor walked in just a few minutes. He said, Dr. May, you're in better shape than you think you are. He said, heart rate is fine. We even liked your cool down increments. He said, there's absolutely nothing in the world wrong with your heart that would require any more medical attention. And I wanted to say praise God, but I didn't have enough breath in me to do that. My head still hung down. I'm going to give all of you people who like to run and work out a tip. Now, I'm serious about this. This is true. You look it up, the research is in. A professional trainer told me several years ago The best way to recover quickly from an extreme workout is drink a pint of chocolate milk. There's something divine about that, is it not? So when Delaine took me over to the cardiologist that day, I had stopped off and bought a pint of chocolate milk and put it on ice. And when I staggered out to the car with Delaine, I said, "Give me that chocolate milk." It totally restores your electrolytes and everything that needs to be recharged. And in 30 minutes, I was in Kroger helping Delaine shop. Ladies and gentlemen, it works. But I can't tell you how wonderful it is to sit down with a doc and he says, "We looked at your test and you're all clear." The purpose of that test was to place stress on my cardiovascular system to see if any problems would surface that needed medical attention. Stress we encounter in life may lead to exhaustion, collapse, and brokenness. Many of our people in our congregation right now are taking care of aging parents. I want to commend you for doing that. They took care of you when you were small. You're to honor your parents until their death. You need to take care of their needs. But I want you to know something. That's not easy to do. Delaney and I took care of three parents long term over a 5-year period. You'll find out that they've been used to living independently for so long. When you ask them to do something that it's in their best interest, if it's not their idea, they're going to be combative. And I'll tell you something else. When you're taking care of parents, there's always this subconscious that's going on. And every time your smartphone rings, you think that's the call. They're being rushed to the hospital. They've had a heart attack. They've had another stroke. So it's always there. You're going through stress. Being a parent, I am told, is very stressful. I've noticed that you parents, you love your kids. And even when they're 40 years old, you're so concerned about your children, and you should be. Sometimes parents are a stress for kids. I was talking to a kid in high school last week, and he said, "You know something, Mr. Phil? My parents just don't think like I do." And that was just profound. And I looked at him, I said, "You know, that may be why God gave children parents." I had that same problem when I was growing up. We also know that school causes stress. If you want to know how many days of school less, just go see a school teacher. They can tell you down to the hour right now. We see that our college students and our high school students have recently been through their final exams. That creates stress. Stress is the end disease in America. How many times do you hear somebody say, "I'm just stressed out"? The number one leading killer among Americans is heart disease, much of which is stress-related and stress-induced. Americans consume, listen to this, 5 million pounds of aspirin every year. And that doesn't count all the aspirin-related products like sleeping pills and pain pills. Time magazine reported in an article in the past 30 years that doctors and health officials have come to realize how heavy a toll stress is taking on the nation's well-being. Listen to this carefully. 2/3 of all visits to our doctors is stress-related. It doesn't have anything to do with infection. Doesn't have anything to do with any kind of physical ailment other than it's stress-induced. The article went on to report that the effect of stress cost American businesses $50 to $75 billion a year. Now, if you've got a pen or a pencil there closely, I want you to look at the signs of stress that we encounter that lead to burnout and collapse. I ran across this survey for burnout just the other day. And what I want you to do, I'm going to read 14 of these and rank yourself 1 to 5, 1 being a low stressor, 5 being high. First of all, here's what I want you to rate. Do you tire more easily and feel fatigued and less energetic? I've learned that the older you get, naps are a divine gift from God. Some of you think that when I'm preaching every Sunday, it's a divine gift from God. I could have been an anesthesiologist, except I don't need any narcotics. I can put you out in about 10 minutes. The other thing, rate yourself 1 through 5. Are you working harder and harder and accomplishing less and less? I know that when I'm stressed and I'm exhausted, when I sit down with the Word of God, it'll take me 16 hours to write a sermon. If I'm just back from vacation, 2 or 3 hours with a text, and I've got that message. Number 3, are people annoying you more lately? I promise you this, a lady in the Walmart parking lot this past week, I was parked this way, she was parked over here. I was coming out of Walmart, walking to my car, and instead of backing out, she shot through the open parking place next to my truck and just came within a few feet of sending me to glory right there in the Walmart parking lot. That annoys me. All right, rate yourself here. Are you increasingly cynical and disenchanted? Do you feel a sadness that you can't explain? Are you forgetting more? The older I get, the more I forget, and the more I enjoy it. I'd rate that a 1. Are you increasingly irritable? Are you more disappointed in people around you? Are you seeing close friends and family members less frequently? Isn't that a blessing? Number 10, are you suffering from more physical complaints like aches, pains, and lingering colds? Number 11, are you too busy to do even the routine things like make a phone call, read reports, or send somebody a card? Is joy elusive? You just don't have any happiness in life. Are you unable to laugh at a joke about yourself? I went to the beach the other day with Delaine. I broke out in a horrible rash. I was almost in whelps. So I called my nurse back here in Rome, and I wondered if they could help me since I was out of state. And so the nurse called me back, and I like to be very efficient. And I think I'm going to need one of these steroid packs to get rid of this. I've tried Benadryl. It's ruining my vacation. I can hardly keep my clothes on. I'm itching so bad. And I said, here, let me read to you this prescription. I think this will work. And when I did, she died laughing. She said, that's a narcotic for back pain. And and she just kept laughing. She said, what you need is a prednisone pack. I said, yeah, that too. Whatever works. But I thought I was telling her exactly what I was even spelling that for. You know what? You better be able to laugh at yourself. And you know what the sad thing is? I've got an appointment this week for my annual checkup. And unless she's on vacation, she's going to see me and laugh again. I'd rather people be laughing at me than laughing at you. It's a lot of fun. Do you have very little to say to people? Rate yourself. And notice physical pressure. A man named Dr. Hans Selye, who is known as the father of stress, he began studying stress and its physical effect on our bodies back in the 1930s. He gave this definition of stress. He said, stress is the nonspecific response of the body to any demand made upon it. In other words, no matter what kind of pressure you're experiencing, your body is going to respond by being stressed. And the effects of stress can be enormous. You can have some chemical changes in your body, and that will also lead to stress and bring your body down. Work causes stress. Children can cause stress. Parents can cause stress. Commuting causes stress. Delaney and I had to ride down to Marietta yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock. I'll be honest with you, I don't usually leave my property after 6 o'clock on Saturdays. I've never seen so much traffic in all my life. We were riding down the highway, and suddenly in my right mirror, side mirror, I looked, and here comes one of those racing bikes down 75 doing about 120. You know, you can't see them coming. They get up on you so fast. If I'd have just moved over a little bit and nudged him, he'd have gone through a forest. He'd have been dead. People cut in front of you. They don't give any signal. If there's enough room to park a VW Beetle, somebody with an SUV is going to cut you off. That aggravates me. I just thank God that it takes me 10 minutes to get to work over Eden Mountain unless I catch the train over in Lindale. It's so nice not to have to deal with traffic, but that's a major stress. Now listen to me carefully. Eating too much causes stress on your body. While we were on vacation, we were right next door to the homemade ice cream shop. We were there 10 nights. And I want you to know I was very, very disciplined. I only went over there 7 nights. That was all I did. And I'd say, put the peanut butter on the top and put the strawberry on the bottom. Delaney encouraged me to do that. That's a godly wife that'll do that. But you know, I never did overeat. But if I'd overeaten, it would have caused stress. Did you know hunger? When you're trying to diet and you're starving yourself to death, nothing wrong with a diet if it's healthy, but that also can trigger stress. Doctors know that chronic job stress can cause high blood pressure and trigger literal physical changes in your heart. The Journal of the American Medical Association discovered that many who found their job very demanding but had little control over it were 3 times as likely to have hypertension as their peers. And furthermore, elevated blood pressure remains high even after work. Their conclusion in this Medical Association's journal was this: job strain affects your blood pressure. 24 hours a day, an estimated 60 million people in America will suffer from hypertension. Notice the psychological pressure that you have. Mental strain and stress is very striking. Stress is what causes an actor to forget their lines. Stress is what causes that basketball player to miss the game-winning shot. Stress is what causes that football player to drop that winning touchdown pass in the end zone. I want you to know that stress with your mind is like a gigantic weight that is pulling down your body. Let me ask you this. If you have any of these symptoms, though oftentimes you find your heart just pounding out of your chest and you're not afraid and you're not running, are there times when you have to deal with impulsive behavior and emotional instability? How about the overpowering urge just to cry and to run and hide while you just want to get away from it all? Do you sometimes have the inability to concentrate and have a flight of thought that just comes sweeping your way? Do you become easily fatigued? Do you have a floating anxiety where there are times you're just afraid, although you don't know what you're afraid of? It's just those anxious moments. There are many others, but all these are symptoms of someone dealing with stress-related issues. Let's look at the Word of God now and see some solutions to stress-related problems. Number one, physical recovery. I want you to look at Luke chapter 5 and look at verse 16. Notice what Jesus did, and we find this frequently. Jesus, in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. What in the world is he doing? He's getting away from people so he can have time to pray and to rest, and so mentally and physically he can be revived. Charles Stanley, in his book entitled The Source of My Strength, described his personal collapse and burnout. Here's what he said: don't push yourself beyond the point of being tired. To do this is to suffer exhaustion, a complete depletion of your strength and energy. If you find yourself already at the point of exhaustion, take time you need to rest and refuel yourself. The first step toward being healed of burnout nearly always includes a time of prolonged rest coupled with good nutrition. When I collapsed back in 2006, I'd been taking care of my parents back and forth between here and Augusta for about 2.5 years. Then Delaney's mother developed pancreatic cancer, and she's going back and forth. And when I collapsed and wound up in the hospital, I missed 11 weeks of work. And it was mainly because of sheer exhaustion. I've always been able to do whatever you want to do as long as you want us to do it. And I could not believe that happened to me. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It took a balance of rest, proper nutrition to help re-energize. First thing, physical recovery. Take your vacations. Take your time off. The second thing is prayer. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. When you get this low physically, you're going to have some strange thoughts. If you ever collapse or experience exhaustion, you're going to be asking yourself, am I permanently disabled? Am I ever going to be able to work again? Listen, about after 8 or 9 weeks of that, you're going to be saying, will I ever recover? But notice what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. He lists praise in verse 4 and thanksgiving down in verse 6. And when you read those verses, what he's saying is, get your focus off yourself and get your focus on God. And after you focus on God, you're going to see you can do all things through what? His strength, not your own. Now notice your attitude of prayer. It says, do not be anxious about anything. You know what that word worry there means? It means to be pulled apart. When I was pastor at another church, there were 4 generations of one family there, and I loved all of them. But the grandmother, she was a big-time worrier. And then her daughter, she said, I worry. I'm just nervous all the time because I got it from my mama. And then the granddaughter over here, she was nervous and worried just like her mother and her grandmother. And she said, this has come down 3 generations to me. No, it didn't. It means you don't trust God. Worry is a sin against God. Listen, 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% is the past which can't be changed. 12% is needless worry about health. 10% is petty miscellaneous worries. And 8% are real legitimate worries. Now notice the latitude of prayer here. But in everything by prayer. There's an old hymn. Take it to the Lord. Take everything to God in prayer. The Greek word there is deesis. It is a general word for prayer. It means devotion or adoration in the presence of God. Don't rush into His presence. Begin with adoration. Then he talks about supplication, request, our dependence upon God. Ask for things. Dependence is supplication. The word request there means specifics. I ran into a lady the other day. She said, I've been praying for my toe. It hurts. You say, that sounds stupid. No, it doesn't. We're to take all things to God in our prayers. Notice with gratitude. Verse 6, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's just expressing your appreciation to God for His blessings you've received. And then results, verse 7, he says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding. You know what I've noticed? People are looking for peace in all the wrong places. You'd be surprised at the drug use in middle school, high school, and up. And I'm going to tell you this. The alcohol industry has done the best job in advertising over all other businesses in the United States. It's just a social status symbol if you're a social drinker. One of the reasons I don't partake of alcohol is, folks, I don't get my peace and my pleasure from something that's going to make me do stupid things. If I'm a Christian, my joy and my peace comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is found in Jesus. Notice the precepts from Scripture. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A woman came to her pastor one day and she said, I'm just worried to death all the time. I'm stressed out. He said, well, what are you stressed out about? She said, the list of things I have to do. You know, it's bad when you're stressed if you're just looking at your list. He said, well, that's your problem. You just got your mind wrapped around the wrong thing. And so he said, well, let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend reading the Word of God every day? She said, oh, I don't even have time to do that. That's your other problem. Listen. If you wrap yourself around the Word of God and take time to digest some of the Word every day, it's going to come to mind, just like a computer retrieving out of a server. And I want you to know that what you read becomes a part of you, and it becomes the way you think, respond to life. It becomes your very nature, your character, your attitude, and your mindset. You need to have a steady diet of the Word of God. Somebody went on Facebook the other day. Now understand, I was on Facebook for 48 hours. Okay? It was horrible. Delane told me, stay off Facebook. There are people that don't like your sermons and they comment. And there are people that don't like you, and I don't want you to see that. But somebody commented on a decision I'd made here at the church. Not a member of the church. Don't go to church anywhere. And when I read that, I got mad. I just got angry. I'm ready to rumble. Barney's ready to get his bullet out of his pocket. You understand? And this ain't a cap pistol I'm going to use. But you know, I remembered what Proverbs says. If you argue with a fool, you become a fool. Now, boy, that's stress relief, isn't it? And we're not supposed to call people idiots, are we? So I didn't get in touch with this guy. I didn't respond to him. I just remembered the Word of God, and that reduced my stress. The other thing that'll help with your stress level is going to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, unified church. I was reading the Augusta paper the other day, and a man said, I had to stay home with my sick wife one Sunday. So he said, I turned on television. He said, I saw some guys preaching in suits. I saw some guys sitting on stools and T-shirts and tennis shoes and preaching the Word of God. He said, I saw some people that didn't have a podium. They're just going from memory. He said, some of these were excellent preachers on TV, and others I was more confused after I heard them than when I turned on the set. But you know what he said? What I really miss was the fellowship that I get from our local church. The Lord sometimes is going to let us get exhausted. He's going to let us burn out because He wants to teach us one or all of four things. Number one, we're doing more than He's actually requiring us to do. I can't tell you how many times I've run into people. They say, oh, I'm vacation Bible school director this year because nobody else will do it. I've been working on it for 4 months. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you prayed about being VBS director? Or you just don't know how to say no? There's a book called Boundaries You Need to Read by Dr. Henry Cloud. Don't do things that God has not led you to do. Number two, we have our priorities out of order. Number three, we aren't putting Him first. And number four, we're trying to do too many good things at the same time. When we're broken, God begins to use us. You say, that sounds crazy. Listen carefully. Abraham was broken when he had to offer his only son, Isaac, on the altar. You think about Jacob was broken in a wrestling match with God. Joseph was broken through slavery and imprisonment. Moses was broken through murder and 40 years on the backside of the desert. David was broken through sin, his own bad choices and the consequences. Jonah was broken in the belly of a fish. Isaiah was broken in the temple in the awesome consuming presence of God. And Peter was broken by the crowing of a rooster. Paul was broken by a blazing encounter on the Damascus Road with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that Jesus Christ actually ministered in brokenness. Remember Luke 9, 24 through 26. If you want to save your life, you must lose it. And Matthew 23, 12. If you want to be lifted up and exalted, you must humble yourself. If you're all stressed out, God's wanting you to take time out and get along with Him. Physical, emotional, spiritual restoration with a spirit and an attitude of brokenness so that He can use you. God brought me to that point, and I don't ever want to get myself in that exhausted, collapsed situation again. It is absolutely frightening. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to equip myself every day like you. I have to make sure I have my quiet time with God. I have to make sure that I'm looking in His Word. Some of you are going to call me and ask me for advice. I need the wisdom that only God gives through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God. Being in the people business is exhausting. Some nights when I go home, I just get my lazy boy, and Delaine said, "What happened today?" I said, "Nothing." And she said, "What do you know about so-and-so?" "Nothing." And then she'll ask me another question, and I'll say, "Nothing." And I'm thinking, how many times can you ask me questions, and I don't know anything? And what it is, I'm just totally, physically exhausted. How many of you like antiques? Some of you ladies do. You married one. I'm looking around seeing that over here in the worship center. You know what happens with antiques? If you want to restore them to the original finish, sometimes you have to put a chemical on there, and it peels away the layers of stain. And then sometimes you might have a machine that you sand with, and sometimes when you get down to that fine sandpaper, you're sanding it by hand. That's the part that really hurts and takes so long to get it back down to the bare wood. And then you come along and you take a stain or you take a varnish, and that's the best part. And then it's restored to its original form. Here's what God does with us. Sometimes we're just out here trying to multitask and do things the way we want to do it and on our own calendar, and we have all these symptoms of stress, and our body and our minds are breaking down. So God has to get our attention. So He begins to allow you to experience this physical symptom or that physical symptom, or sometimes you might even have a panic attack. And what God is doing, He's slowing you down there, and He's starting to peel away some layers from you where you're trusting in yourself and creating your own stress in your life that's tearing you down. Now what He does, He lets that happen through the power of the Holy Spirit and then through His Word. And then there's a sanding process. And this is the point at which the life of Christ begins to shine in the life of the Christian. And your identity in Christ begins to reveal itself. And you'll find power you never had, because now you're broken and you're attentive to God, and you can only operate in His strength. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've experienced Isaiah 40:31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The offer stands for you and for me when we are run down and we're burned out. Let me just leave you with a question. How are you handling stress? Will you stand right where you are in both buildings? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.